Got Health Care? That's the name of a campaign from Citizen Action of Wisconsin, which is targeting several communities across the state with petition drives to get health care reform advisory referenda on the November ballot. We will wonder whether you want to vote on a question that calls for universal health care coverage this fall, and whether this effort is going to amount to anything. During this edition of our State Capitol Report this hour. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 past 7 on this Monday, August the 18th. We will hear first from Robert Craig, the Program Director for Citizen Action of Wisconsin, about why his group is spearheading this effort. Good morning.
Great to be here, Joy.
Yeah, thanks for being with us. So why are you spearheading this effort?
Well, there's a real disconnect between what voters want and what the legislature and Congress has been doing on the health care issue. There has been extremely strong support for a long time for fundamental reform, but the situation keeps getting worse and worse and worse without decisive action. In fact, health insurance premiums have doubled since 2000, which is a remarkable number if you stop to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem, I mean, if you think about our election system and the way it works, that when a candidate wins, it is not always clear what issues made that possible or whether they have a mandate at all. It's often things that happen in the campaign, whether the opposing candidate even had the resources to get their name out there, and a bundle of issues, but there isn't a clear mandate necessarily.
Yeah.
And so the value of an advisory referendum is it gives voters the opportunity to make a clear statement to lawmakers and other elected officials to what they'd like to see.
Yeah, so what exactly do you want to hear from voters? What's the question that you want on the ballot?
And this is, by the way, in most communities, there are over 20 communities where this will probably be on the ballot,
mm-hmm.
and it's being done mostly by signature, where there's a Wisconsin law that goes back to the Progressive era that says if 15% of the people who voted in the last governor's race sign a petition, then they can put a binding or an advisory referendum on the ballot. And so that's how it's mostly being done around the state. And what it asks is, it says, it's a very simple statement. It says, shall the state legislature enact health care reform legislation by December 31st, 2009, that guarantees to every Wisconsin resident affordable coverage as good as what is provided to state legislators?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a simple statement, but there are very clear standards within the statement as well.
Yeah, but as we will hear from our guest after 7:30, the devil is in the details. So what good will it do to have people say, yes, we want health care coverage as good as state legislators?
Well, I think a lot of your listeners know, Joy, that Wisconsin really took the lead last year when the Senate passed a bill called Healthy Wisconsin, which actually would have accomplished this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the only way to accomplish it, but we actually have a bill in Wisconsin which got national attention, has been copied by a lot of other states, that would have accomplished this. And in fact, there were advisory referendums in various parts of the state in 2006 as well, and a lot of people feel that that helped encourage the Senate to move forward and to pass Healthy Wisconsin. There are other ways to get to that goal, and certainly there's a lot of room for the state assembly to weigh in, the governor to weigh in, but in fact, a real bill that would actually accomplish this, that had real actuarial analyses behind it and research, was passed by one house of the legislature in Wisconsin last year.
But we do see that while it did pass the state Senate, that even Democrats like Governor Doyle aren't pushing for that specific bill. So, you know, what's the problem?
Well, I mean, the devil is in the details, you're right, once you have a bill. And that's why there needs to be a clear public statements that they would like elected officials to work on this issue and figure out a solution that can pass both houses and be signed by the governor. And so I think the passage of Healthy Wisconsin was a major step in that direction, but there's obviously a lot of work to be done, and there's a major role here for the citizens of the state to play in really sending instructions to the legislature and telling them that they would like them to accomplish this objective in the near term, because health insurance is going to be entirely unaffordable if this goes on, and we have hyperinflation proceeding year after year after year right now.
Well, what communities already know that this will be on the ballot, and give us some more that you're working in?
Yeah, there have been signatures turned in sufficient to get on the ballot in Green Bay. That was the first city, in Appleton and Oshkosh, in the Milwaukee area and South Milwaukee and Oak Creek, and a number of communities in western Wisconsin, including Eau Claire, Altoona, Menominee, River Falls, Hudson, New Richmond, and Viroqua. and there are others where signatures are still being collected. And then there's several different counties that are moving forward. In other words, doing it by the vote of the county board. A number in northwestern Wisconsin, like Douglas County and La Crosse County in western Wisconsin, for example.
Yeah, you have no doubt that you're going to get yes votes in all of these communities, right?
It's even though this does have teeth in it, we know about this disconnect. We know that even most conservative voters support fundamental health care reform, and vast majorities of progressive and independent moderate voters. And so, yes, it's most likely to pass, but there needs to be this sort of, you know, public mandate in order to get things moving in Madison. And in fact, to some degree, this will influence Congress as well.
We're talking about an effort to get health care reform advisory questions placed on the ballots in many Wisconsin communities this fall, and welcoming your questions, your thoughts on this effort, how you would vote if this question was on your local ballot. Our guest is Robert Craig, Program Director for Citizen Action of Wisconsin. Our number, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 17 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, August the 18th. Coming up this afternoon, Gene Purcell in for Ben Marins. After 4, Gene and his guest will discuss what we can anticipate from the Democratic National Convention next week in Denver, the speakers, the events, and the dynamics. That's coming up this afternoon after 4 o'clock. We're talking with Robert Craig during this part of our State Capitol Report. He is Program Director for Citizen Action of Wisconsin, the group that's behind an effort to get health care advisory referendum questions on the ballots in several Wisconsin communities this fall. The question will read, whether you want the state legislature to pass healthcare reform legislation by December 31st, 2009 that guarantees every Wisconsin resident affordable healthcare coverage as good as what is provided to state legislators. Do you want a question like that on your local ballot? Do you think it will do any good if these questions pass this fall? Will it get the legislature to pass universal health care? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We'll talk with a political analyst about this effort coming up after 7:30. Mary in Oshkosh joins us first. Hi, Mary. You're on the air.
Good morning. I have a question for your guest. If we were to pass something like this, how much of an impact would that have on each person's taxes?
Do you have an answer to that, Robert Craig? How much would it cost?
Well, it depends what plan is enacted. What this referendum does is it says that you have to pass health care reform as good as what state legislators receive, make it affordable, and guarantee it, and it gives the legislature a deadline. It doesn't say which plan they're going to adopt. I will say that the one plan that passed the Senate last session that met these criteria in Healthy Wisconsin would have saved a great deal of money because the assessments that it had, the taxes it had, were far lower than what's already paid for health care costs by employers and by workers. And so it would be an increase in taxes but a decrease in costs on working families and on employers in the state. But as I say, what we're saying in this referendum is the legislature needs to figure out the formula and wants to leave some openness to legislative compromise on this as long as the objective is achieved.
Yeah, and Mary, this will be on your ballot in Oshkosh. Do you have any sense on how you might vote on this?
Well, I've been in the healthcare industry taking care of elderly and disabled for the last close to 10 years, and we have a terrible shortage of quality of life healthcare in the United States and in Wisconsin, and it's just terrible that so many times we support people in other countries and want all the best for them, and we neglect our own people. And I'm definitely for helping as many people as we can, but we definitely have to make our own people strong and our own people healthy in order to help other people as well.
Mm-hmm. Reaction, Robert Craig?
I couldn't agree more that there's a moral quality to this, that we need to, that it's hard to imagine living the good life in this country without having a way to get access to affordable health care during all stages of your life. And we're losing that right now because of hyperinflation. Health care costs are anticipated to double again in the next 8 years. And so unless we do something fundamental, people aren't going to have access to the health care safety net that we expect and people believe is an absolute both ethical obligation.
Yeah. What do you say, Robert Craig, to those who say this is not something that the state of Wisconsin can do alone? This needs to be some sort of national effort.
I mean, there is also more pressure for national reform right now than there's been since the early 1990s. We're very involved in that as well. But if you think about the way our Constitution is set up, it's very hard to take bold action at the national level. The Senate filibuster is just one obvious example. And so we think it wouldn't be a good idea not to focus on state-level reform. We think states can do this and probably need to do this in order to put pressure ultimately for one mm-hmm. national solution. But we've been waiting, obviously, since Harry Truman or even earlier for a national health care reform, and it's not happened.
Next, we go to Roger in Lemira. Hi, you're on the air.
You've kind of already, thanks for letting me be on the show here, you've kind of already touched on the question I've got. Does this include the elderly that are on Medicare, Medicaid, senior care? Those items aren't being funded properly or adequately by the federal government. And I think this is I think we got to really focus on the national level instead of at the state level, because the hospitals are not able to take care of it, and the clinics aren't able to take care of Medicare, Medicaid, and the shortage of funds that are available for that. But I applaud you for any efforts to try and make health care more affordable.
Yeah. Is that a big problem, seniors on Medicare or Medicaid, Robert Craig?
Well, increasingly so, because Medicare, and there's a real long-term funding problem with Medicare, and it's partly driven by healthcare hyperinflation. If we had comprehensive reform of the private health insurance system, it would also bring down costs for Medicare. So that is something that needs to be dealt with at the national level. But there really needs to be state-level action as well, and a push for state-level action to get the ball rolling. It's interesting, a Badger poll done a couple months ago found that by 68 to 24, people in Wisconsin trusted state government more than the federal government to deal with the healthcare crisis and do healthcare reform. There's just so much distrust cynicism about action at the national level that things really have bounced back to the states. And this effort is an example of that. And Healthy Wisconsin passing the state Senate last year is also an example of that.
Yeah. And we've done polls with St. Norbert, and there have been other polls that show that the support is there for some sort of universal health care coverage. It's not a detailed plan that's on these questions, but people have said yes from 50, 60, 70% saying, yes, we want universal health care coverage. So I'm trying to figure out why we need to have voters vote on this question this fall, if we already know that.
I think we know that, but it hasn't had a full influence on lawmakers. And so they need to hear that people in their city, that the people of Oshkosh or the people of Eau Claire want it, as opposed to just general national polling doesn't just lead to public policy. Now, obviously, there's a huge legislative component where people need to be very involved next year to actually get something done. It's not vote on a referendum and then that takes care of itself. But it's a very important mechanism where people in Eaton local communities can send a clear message to instruct their legislators what their priorities are and what they'd like to see them work on next year.
1-800-642-1234 or 263-1890 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. If you would like to get in on this conversation with Robert Craig, Program Director for Citizen Action of Wisconsin. Citizen Action is working in a number of Wisconsin communities, about 20 of them, to place advisory referendums on the ballot this November that calls on the state legislature to pass health care reform, universal health care, by December of 2009. What do you think of this idea? What questions do you have? Our next caller is Mike in Langlade County. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. Just quickly, First of all, with respect to an earlier caller, I have to disagree about Medicare. I'm on Medicare, and I've been very healthy all my life except for the last couple of years. For example, I had open-heart surgery a year and a half ago. There were three surgeons in the operating room for about 6 or 7 hours. Each one put in a bill for almost $25,000. My Medicare supplement insurance disallowed two of them entirely and paid the third one less than $5,000.
Okay.
And they're always happy to see me when I get back there. The second thing I wanted to mention is, in auto insurance, we have an insurance commissioner in this state that tells the insurance companies what's going to be in their policies. If they want to change, there are minimum liability limits that they must offer. The same thing is true in homeowners' policies. If you want replacement cost coverage, that's an HO4, homeowners 4, or 5, I forget which. If you only want depreciated cost coverage, that's an HO3, and the whole policy is in the statute.
Because we're running short on time, what's your point with this?
What if we had statutes that said, if you want to sell insurance in Wisconsin, you cannot deny coverage for a pre-existing condition, or you cannot deny coverage for someone who changes jobs?
Yeah. Well, Robert Craig?
Caller actually makes an excellent point. We released a report in June that got statewide coverage that showed that Wisconsin has among the weakest regulations of the private health insurance market, the individual market of any state in the country, and that the pre-existing condition abuses where people are discriminated against based on their health status are very poorly regulated in Wisconsin. And so that would help. And in fact, Congressman Steve Kagan has a national bill to outlaw most of these practices. Now, you'd also need to move towards fundamental reform because that doesn't deal with the cost issue. In fact, that would raise the cost of insurance somewhat while ending this discrimination. So it probably should be done in tandem with fundamental reform that created large buying pools and brought down costs overall. But it absolutely needs to happen. The kind of discrimination occurring and being perpetrated by health insurance companies is outrageous, and most people feel that way. Polls are off the charts as far as people's anger at health insurance companies.
Yeah. Only have a couple of minutes left, not even during this segment. Are you working in all the communities that that you want to, or are you still looking for groups or communities that might want this on their ballot, Robert Craig?
Well, I mean, this is always driven by local citizens who want to work on this issue. We're getting a little, it all has to be done by September in order to be on the ballot. So there's certainly still time for individuals and communities to get involved, but we're coming up towards the end of the process of getting advisory referendums on the ballot. But
Hopeful are you that this is going to result in anything once it's all over?
Well, we do believe that a smaller number of referendums in 206, a lot of people believe that, actually played a critical role in the Senate deciding to take on health care reform and passing Healthy Wisconsin. So, and a number of lawmakers who've commented as the referendums have been announced in various communities have said publicly in the press that they think that these do play a large role in influencing how legislators prioritize their work during a legislative session. So we do think it's an important step, and it's very important to have a public mandate in the elections. But it doesn't lead to reform.
There's still
a ton of work to do during the legislative session after the elections.
Thank you, Robert Craig. We'll check back with you. We are talking about an effort to get health care reform advisory questions placed on the ballots in many Wisconsin communities this fall. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's now 7:36, and we will continue our State Capitol Report in this half hour talking with David Seemers, who is an associate professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin, Oshkosh, who joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good to be with you, Joy.
So we saw you quoted in a story in the Appleton Post-Crescent on this effort by Citizen Action of Wisconsin to get these health care reform referendum questions placed on the ballots. And it didn't sound like you thought that this was going to be all that worthwhile in terms of actually getting anything done. Why is that?
Well, let me first say that Citizen Action of Wisconsin is a serious group, and they're certainly addressing a very serious issue, one which I'm sympathetic to in many ways. Mm-hmm. And however, I'm concerned that their strategy will serve to obscure a robust debate about this issue. Direct democracy is supposed to be about the electorate making informed and consequential decisions about public policy, and I'm just not sure that these advisory referenda serve that purpose.
Okay, so the question would read, shall the next state legislature enact health care reform legislation by December 31st, 2009 that guarantees every Wisconsin resident affordable health care coverage as good as what is provided to state legislators? So is there anything wrong with that?
Well, it's a statement about providing something without an acknowledgement of the cost. Of course, your guest earlier acknowledged that there would be tax revenue involved, and he also acknowledged that he doesn't really have a plan. He's just bringing this up as an advisory thing to prod the legislature to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's certainly within his, that's strategically understandable for him. It doesn't talk about costs, but in many ways I think the cost of this is the least of my concerns.
Mm-hmm.
More pressing, I think, this focuses too much on health care and not enough on health, as a lot of discussion in public policy does. I don't think you can provide health care without caring about health. If we have a multi-billion-dollar commitment per year by the state to providing health care, we've got to care about how citizens take care of themselves.
Yeah.
And there are many easier ways that the state can address that, a tax break for health club membership or increased money for Phi-Ed classes in school or recreational programs in cities, even a ban on trans fats or building bike paths or something like that. These are things that are not addressed by just talking about providing universal health care.
Yeah. Well, can't you have universal health care plus have that discussion on these other things that would make us healthier?
I think that would be ideal, and I think we should have a robust discussion about that. But when you present people with a question that says, should you just have provide universal health care by the state? As you've mentioned before, 60 to 70% of people will always say yes. They will also say no to paying for it. So it's kind of misleading in that way. And I would say this is a continuation of what I call gimmick government in a way. Again, I think Citizen Action is a serious group trying to address a serious issue, but it's like the gay marriage amendment or the local end the war referenda that we saw in 2006. This does nothing, and government should be in the business of doing something, solving problems. And this is nothing more than a glorified poll, really.
Yeah. Well, Robert Craig mentioned that the group did this back in 2006 in some communities as well, and he credited the yes votes in those communities to prodding the state legislator to do something this past session where the state Senate did pass the Healthy Wisconsin Initiative. It didn't get beyond the state Senate, but he thought it did some good along those lines.
Well, who knows? It may have, but there's a very serious alliance here between Citizen Action of Wisconsin and the Democratic Party. This is their version of the gay marriage amendment. The Republicans were very happy to put that on the ballot because it divides the public in a way that very much benefits the Republican Party. This issue, if you just put on the ballot something about providing universal health care to all citizens of Wisconsin, divides the public in a way that very much favors Democrats. It'll bring out Democratic voters. It'll bring out independents thinking that, oh, the Democrats are on our side on this issue.
Mm-hmm.
It makes the election more about universal health care, and that's something the Democrats very much want. And, of course, they're running a voter registration drive in association with this, which is their prerogative, and it's great. More people registered is great. But this is a clear attempt to cleave the public in a way that benefits Democrats. That's okay. It's within their rights to do that and use the political system that way, and maybe it'll work out. Who knows? But after, if, let's say, the Democrats take over the Assembly, you have a situation where we have a Democratic governor, Democratic Senate, Democratic Assembly. As you said earlier, the Democrats are not all on board with this, and then their problems start. You have the expectation that they'll provide health care, and then you've got to deal with the real world of real plans, and that's difficult.
Well, yeah, and is that why, Professor Siemers, we hear that everybody wants, or many people want, universal health care with these polls, 60-70%, and yet overall this time we haven't seen any action on this?
Well, yeah, the Republicans are in control of the Assembly, and so they can shoot down whatever the Senate Democrats put up. And in fact, the Senate Democrats probably counted on that. If the Democrats take over the Assembly, then the Assembly Democrats will be put in a difficult position if the Senate Democrats raise the issue again and pass this. A lot of Assembly Democrats are not on board with something as far-reaching as Healthy Wisconsin. Robert Craig sounded like he was could favor some sort of different plan, but it would be much easier to pass some of the kind of incremental things that I was talking about earlier.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones. Claire in Cedarburg joins us first. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joy and Mr. Siemers. I would like to vote for a referendum for universal health care. I supported Healthy Wisconsin. It would have saved citizens and businesses more than $1 billion annually, because so much of this money that we pay for so-called health care goes to administrative costs and gatekeepers that keep people from getting benefits that they should have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it eliminates people that have pre-existing conditions that are caught in various, you know, between retirement and Social Security or Medicaid. Medicare. There's so many people that are falling through the cracks that need this so desperately. There's desperate families out there.
Yeah.
But I would also like to say that there are many candidates that are for this and for universal health care that are running against the entrenched people that voted against Healthy Wisconsin, especially here in southeast Wisconsin. I would urge people to see what the candidates for Assembly and Senate stand for, and vote for the people that are voting for their health,
not
telling them to go ride the bike path.
Professor Siemers, that seems as though this could certainly cause some debate and discussion in these communities for the election.
Well, I sure hope so. And I remind the caller that I said that I'm sympathetic to many of the things that Citizen Action is for. And a Healthy Wisconsin may be worth a try. Who knows? It would make Wisconsin a leader in health care in the nation, that's for sure. But I'm not sure that it will do more than provoke a kind of a non-robust debate that we've had now for many years about socialized medicine versus how can you free marketeers be so heartless. I think that's an uninteresting debate, a fruitless debate, and one that doesn't get us very far.
We are talking with David Siemers, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Wisconsin-Oshkosh. He's commenting on this effort by the advocacy group Citizen Action of Wisconsin that is working to get questions placed on the ballot in a couple dozen communities around Wisconsin, calling for health care reform, calling on the next state legislature to enact universal health care reform. Professor Siemers says that the devil of universal health care coverage is in the details, and he questions the effectiveness of this effort. We wonder what you think, what questions you have. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We are talking about the push for health care reform at the voting booth in this edition of the State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. It's 13 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Monday, August the 18th. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up, I'll talk with a guest who says our individual concept of time determines each of our thoughts, feelings, and actions, making time the most influential force on our life. We'll talk about time and the psychology of time coming up in our next hour. Right now, we're talking about health care reform and the effort to place health care advisory referendum on the ballots in many Wisconsin communities this November. We talked in our first half hour of the State Capitol Report with a supporter of these health care votes, and now we are talking with an analyst who questions whether they are worth the effort. And our next caller is Don in Richland Center. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. First of all, just want to say that I am a Christian conservative, and I've voted for George Bush twice, and I think that health care reform is a moral imperative. I think that universal health coverage really needs to happen. My fear, though, and my question for your guest is, would having Wisconsin with universal health care simply make us a magnet for everyone in the country who's sick and can't get help?
Do you have an answer for that, Professor Seamers?
Well, it's an interesting point. What was written into Healthy Wisconsin last year was a clause that said that no one would be eligible who came here and hadn't established residency for a year, except for pregnant women and children. So they'll cover everyone, everyone immediately who's a pregnant woman or a child, but there would be a waiting period of 1 year for those who just come and are adults, healthy adults. But, you know, the caller raises a serious issue. What happens when you enact this and the other states around don't have something like this? Now, we've got a test case in Massachusetts, and I don't think people are streaming over the borders in Massachusetts. However, it is a real concern. But the people who are for Healthy Wisconsin will tell you that this will decidedly attract businesses. It will decidedly attract people as well, people who will be part of the workforce.
Thank you very much, Don, for the call. Here's an email from Karen in Lafayette County. I do believe the advisory should go on the ballot because it will be one of the ways to move this country toward affordable health insurance for all. One group that would benefit are the older people who are not yet eligible for Medicare. Today, it seems if you lose your job and you're over 55, it's pretty darn difficult to find affordable coverage, as most people in that category do have some type of health needs. Perhaps if our legislators don't want to act on these health issues, they should have their Cadillac health insurance cut back to what the average worker in Wisconsin gets so they can see what the taxpayers have to deal with. Comments, Professor Seamers?
Well, 50 million people nearly are uninsured in the United States, and while the percentage of people uninsured in Wisconsin is lower than that nationwide, it's a very, very serious problem. It's interesting that the email ends with a little flourish on what state legislators get, and this is a very shrewd strategic move by Citizen Action of Wisconsin to write into their referenda that citizens will get health care that's on a par with what state legislators get, because mm-hmm. it taps into our kind of anger about politics and anger about state legislators who can vote themselves benefits like a salary and like health care, but not necessarily provide that to others. Now, truth be told, their salaries are low. And I don't know much about their health care plan. It's probably what other state employees get. Mm-hmm. So you could write a referendum that said something like, should all citizens of Wisconsin get health care to the level that state employees get, but it would not tap into that same anger.
Yeah. Thank you very much to Karen for the email. Next we go to Susan in Madison. Hi, Susan.
Hi. It seems to me that underlying this discussion is either an unawareness or I'm in traffic right now, so I apologize. This spring on public television, there was this, I think it was just a one program, comparing health care in England, I think it was France, and Japan. And the people in those countries are far healthier than they are in the United States. They don't have to worry about losing everything in case they have a catastrophic health problem. And doctors are actually incentivized to keep their patients healthy. That is just the opposite of what we have in the United States. And I don't understand why we have models in other countries and in other states that we are so afraid of following.
Well, I couldn't agree more with you. as I said, the plan seems to focus too much on health care and not on health. And we need to focus on health, absolutely, if you have a commitment of, and Healthy Wisconsin was supposed to be a commitment of in the neighborhood of $14 billion per year. If the citizens of Wisconsin are asked to pay $14 billion per year to cover everyone, which might be a worthy expense, we really need to be interested in giving people opportunities to be healthy and providing incentives to be healthy. So I think it's a great point.
Next, we go to Peggy in Addison. Hi, Peggy.
Hi. Thanks a lot for this program. It's always good to have it exposed. And I would like to say that my concern is that it's not a public system. We still have that devil in the detail, which is the insurance company. And I understand that the plan that they are advocating does still have an insurance company in it. I can't understand why it can't be like the roads and the schools and other kinds of public of things and keep the insurance company out of it. If when you get that insurance company out of this healthcare system, then I'll vote for it. So I'll just take my answers off the air.
Yeah, so we don't have, she wants universal health care, but not through the private insurance company.
Yeah, well, I think that's the purpose of Healthy Wisconsin, to kind of cut out the insurance companies and the profits they take and the decisions they force on people, insuring healthy people, pushing those who have pre-existing conditions away, having those people who don't have health insurance go to the emergency room, which is by far the most expensive kind of coverage out there, and those of us who have insurance end up ultimately paying for that. So it's an attempt to cut the insurance companies out of this decision-making process and gain kind of economies of scale from that as a kind of one-time reform that would permanently take insurance companies out of the picture.
But the Healthy Wisconsin bill doesn't take insurance companies out of the picture, does it?
Well, it asks hospitals to come up with a plan of what they're going to cover and then has the state grade those plans and offer them to the public. So in a way, it is kind of taking insurers out of the picture, in at least in terms of cost shifting and that sort of thing. And, you know, those with health insurance, I don't think they want to take those who have health insurance now off the insurance rolls, but they do want to provide insurance that the citizens of Wisconsin can get a fair shake without the insurers making those critical decisions about health care. That's something for the hospitals and the state to make, which raises a bunch of thorny issues. Is the state good at making decisions, or is it possible that the state can say no to people, like insurance companies can say no to people sometimes when they're in tragic situations?
Yeah.
One thing you don't hear from legislators who are favoring universal health care is that at some point we're going to have to make those difficult and tragic decisions, because sometimes health care costs too much in certain situations.
Sure. And now Citizen Action, though, says their question doesn't say pass this specific plan or bill, but just says the legislature shall act on this by December 31st, some sort of universal health care coverage.
Right. And, and that is kind of what concerns me about it. There's no plan here. There's nothing to react to. It's just a sentiment.
Yeah.
And you know, almost all of us, at least 70% of us, are in favor of universal health care when just asked that question straight up. But again, if you're asked about whether you want to pay for it, those numbers go down. So direct democracy is an important tool that we use often in America, but it's not necessarily always consistent, because people's thinking isn't necessarily always consistent about various things. It depends on what questions you present.
Well, one more question from Kathy in Eau Claire. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Real quickly, I'm in the healthcare field, and I have so many concerns about universal healthcare. And my first is when something is given to someone, for instance, Badger Care, when it's given to people without any financial concerns on their part, I see too often that they have no decisions to make, no influence on what they testing and what things are costing. Same thing with state employees. I think that people have to be more concerned about the cost of it instead of giving it to them free, yeah, and the rest of us end up paying somehow.
I get it. And unfortunately, we have less than 30 seconds. Professor Seamers, for a quick reaction to that.
Well, there were co-payments built into Healthy Wisconsin. So you can construct a universal health care plan that does make those who get the care somewhat responsible or knowing what the costs are. So, again, it's in how you construct the plan. A plan can be constructed much better or can be constructed much worse.
Well, we appreciate your time this morning. Thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
David Seamers, Associate Professor of Political Science at the University of Wisconsin-Oshkosh. In our first half hour, we heard from Robert Craig, Program Director for Citizen Action of Wisconsin. Thanks to Rob Ferrett and to Cynthia Schuster and Cheryl Gasser for producing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.